If you would turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Lori and Johnny, is this thing ringing a little bit? It feels like it's ringing up here. So if it's ringing here, probably it's... Okay, yeah. Price told me to get the water out of my ears, so that could be the problem. Okay, if you would stand, and I'll read Luke 1, 39 to 45. Appreciate Roy and Linda Hammer doing the Advent candle today. And right, Luke chapter 1, let me start reading in verse 39. As you know, John the Baptist has been prophesied to be born of this elderly couple, Zechariah and Elizabeth. And then Mary got this news also from Gabriel. She was a teenage girl, engaged to be married, okay, but had not gotten married yet. So in both of these cases, we have a miraculous conception, an elderly couple that was well beyond the years of childbearing, and a teenage girl who is not married yet, and the Holy Spirit worked in both situations. And here we have Mary and Elizabeth coming together to share this news. Luke chapter 1, verse 39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence here this morning. As we lift up the name of Jesus, celebrating his birth, his death on the cross, his resurrection, his coming again. Lord, as Charles Haven says every day on the Haven of Rest podcast, it's all about Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for what you have done. Thank you that you came, that you let go the glory of heaven and did not compromise your deity, and yet became fully human to go to the cross. Thank you for this beautiful description of Mary and Elizabeth and their greeting one another and celebrating what has happened miraculously. Help us today to believe in miracles. Lord, we get cynical, we get pessimistic, we get wrapped up in the daily stuff of today. But Christmas is a miracle. You carrying our sins on the cross is a miracle of grace. Your rising from the dead is a miracle. And when you come again, Lord Jesus, your word says that every knee will bow and tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I ask that the anointing of your Holy Spirit would flow through me now. What I should say, may that be said. What should be deleted, may that be deleted. And may your people grow deep in your word, enriched by your Holy Spirit, more in love with Jesus than when they came in today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I grew up enjoying all manner of sports, football, basketball, baseball. It was a lot of fun to play them here in Scott Valley and compete in those ways. And I also enjoyed sports on television and watching football, basketball, and baseball. Sorry, I could never develop an appetite for golf. Golf is a good way to fall asleep and take a nap, in my opinion. But anyways, I have relatives that love it. But along with those sporting events, I have always loved listening to sports announcers talk, especially gifted ones like Red Barber, from an earlier generation, and Vin Scully of the Dodgers, and Chris Berman. How can you ever forget listening to Chris Berman report a football game when somebody has a touchdown and he yells at the top of his lungs and says, "He could go all the way." Anyways, you about, at least for me, you get just wrapped up in the moment, and it's really a lot of fun. Probably the singular sporting event or sporting moment in the last 100 years, some have thought, was the 1980 United States Olympic hockey team, the men's team. The Soviet Union was heavily favored to win. Okay, Al Michaels was reporting the event that night, and the Russian team, you know, had adults, men that had been playing hockey for many, many years in international competition, and everybody just assumed, because they had done it the previous four Olympics, that they had won the gold. And Herb Brooks was coaching the U.S. Men's U.S. Olympic hockey team, and his players were all college kids who had played a little bit in the minor leagues, but really weren't that talented or professional or whatever. They had a lot of heart. Maybe that's about all. But Herb Brooks was their coach, okay? And what happened was that they entered the game, of course, in Lake Placid, New York, and everybody was just expecting the U.S. team to lose. But they battled with them head-to-head, went all through the game, got all the way down to the end, and the last quarter they were ahead, 4-3. And Al Michaels, in his gifted way with vocabulary and storytelling and emotion, just told the story. And you can look it up on YouTube, but the last 60 seconds, he ticks the clock down. And it gets down to 9 seconds, and he starts yelling and says, "Do you believe in miracles?" And it gets down to the last second, and he says, "Yes." And, of course, the arena just explodes, and these kids really that beat the Russian team just exploded with joy that the impossible had happened. Do you believe in miracles? Christmas really is about miracles, because the thing that the eternal God, Jesus, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God, three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, that Jesus would empty himself of the glory of heaven. It's called kenosis in Philippians chapter 2. There's a word there in our Christology where it says, Paul says, that he emptied himself and became human. Did not compromise his deity, but came into full humanity, as Don mentions in Hebrews there, that scripture during communion. So Jesus empties the glory of heaven, doesn't compromise his deity, becomes fully human, and had to do that so that he could take our sin and go to the cross. It's a miracle. And it has stumped skeptics, okay, and cynics for generations. But it is the clear testimony of Scripture, okay, that Jesus is fully God. And he said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." When Jesus rose from the dead, Thomas didn't believe it. And Jesus, in his wonderful mercy, goes right up to him, shows him the nail prints on his hands. And Thomas says, "My Lord and my God." Okay? Jesus, fully God, fully human. It's a miracle. So these stories that we read of Christmas and literally all throughout the scriptures bend sometimes our scientific, cynical perspective. And we have to say with Al Michaels, "Do you believe in miracles?" And I hope that you can say yes. Because there's a wonderful magic, there's a wonderful miraculous, there's wonderful supernatural. And it is really why at Christmas time, when we sing Emmanuel, God with us, I trust that worship and praise and adoration overwhelms your heart as you remember and celebrate what Jesus has done. Do you believe in miracles? If you look at this text here and look at your outline by way of review, if you recall in verse 18 last week, Zechariah said this fateful statement after Gabriel, who is in the presence of God the Father, tells him that his wife, and they're both old, their biological clock is done, they're not going to be having any babies, and they've never been able to have any children. So in that culture at that time, there was great shame upon them, as well as the economic issue of no children to take care of them as they got older. Okay? So they're in a pickle. But Zechariah, being one who was steeped in Judaism and the Hebrew faith, takes his turn, goes into the to do the incense, and Gabriel appears to him. You'd think that would be enough of the supernatural to get his attention and make him realize, wow, this is the real deal. But apparently it wasn't. And he says that phrase there in verse 18 of chapter 1 of Luke, how can I be sure of this? So write the word Zechariah there next to 118 at the top of your outline. Okay, because Zechariah, in spite of his religious training, a lifelong in the priesthood, okay, and all that he knew about the messianic expectation of the Jews, still wondered, could this really happen? And we're talking about his wife also, okay, who this is what his cynicism also was applying to. So how can I be sure of this, Zechariah? In chapter 1, verse 34, okay, Mary has an encounter with the angel. And these two statements are very close to one another, interestingly enough. And she says, how will this be since I am a virgin? Right, Mary there. Now, I struggled with this a little bit this week, and I wanted to give Zechariah maybe the benefit of the doubt, because those two statements are really close to each other, okay? And all I can say is that Gabriel must have thought, there is a lack of faith here, there's a lack of belief. I know your wife is elderly, her biological clock is done. Okay, you're sure you're all done, but this is a miracle that's going to happen. You're going to conceive, and John the Baptist is going to be in your womb. Mary, apparently full of faith, asks for some questions. How will this be? And what is Gabriel's answer? Verse 35. The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So we have the Holy Spirit embedded, if you will, absorbed, if you will, saturated in this whole narrative, not only inspiring Luke, okay, to write the words that he wrote, but actively involved and engaging, okay, in these conception issues for this older woman and for this teenage girl, okay? And look at the next blank there in your first section. Gabriel responded to Mary's question, as we already read. Now go to that middle section. In verse 39, if you'd like, you could underline at that time. That's an important little phrase, seemingly innocuous, okay? But what has happened is that Mary has just come off of this angelic encounter with Gabriel, okay? And then she, no doubt, is wondering what is going on in another place. It says Mary treasures all these things in her heart, okay? Did you ever have God answer a prayer and then it just stops you and give pause and go, wow, Lord, what's going on here? How could this have happened? What's happening? Well, there's a wonderment, but also a changing of the conceptions in your mind of how you think God works. Do you think after that hockey game, the commentators around the world and hockey experts just thought, this is incredible. These young men, 20, 21, beat these seasoned professionals, okay? That's why Al Michaels said, do you believe in miracles? The Bible will continually challenge your perception of reality. And if you're not being challenged, you're not reading it very well. Okay? Let the Holy Spirit, through this book, change the way you think about life. Don't live in cynicism and negativity and paranoia and all the things that creep into our minds. Every day, Romans 12 and 1 and 2, allow the Holy Spirit to transform the way you think. That's why it's so important for children to come to Christ at a young age at Kidder Creek or Vacation Asian Bible School or other places, because children learn better than adults. At some point, we think we've got reality figured out. If you will let him, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, will continually surprise you all of your days. Very important as we get older. Don't get stuck in the mud. Don't get stuck in your own perceptions. Allow worship and a childlike heart and a heart of faith and a heart of optimism. No matter what the news says, God's on the throne. He's working. He's present. He's available. If you don't believe me, talk to Ben Morris and ask him what just he saw in Ukraine. Miracles taking place. People coming to Christ. Incredible things happening. Okay? This is the God who is working all over the globe. Why? Because the end game is this. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the whole earth as the waters cover the sea. We have a rather myopic perspective here in America that we filter through the news, we filter through our prosperity economically, and we need to see a broader picture. And that's why our missions reports are so important. I love what's happening in Ukraine from Ben. I love stories from India. I love hearing because they broaden your perspective and remind us God is working all around the globe. Okay? So this is what's happening, and the question really becomes again, do you believe in miracles? So Mary has just had this encounter. She realizes the Holy Spirit's going to come upon her. The power of the Most High will overshadow you, okay? And then what happens? At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. The hill country of Judea is just south of Jerusalem. It's a hilly area with hills and deep gorges, okay? And she had to get together with her cousin. Your translation may say relative, some say cousin, but they were related and no doubt had a relationship, and they wanted to talk about these things. And can you imagine? She got ready and she hurried. She wanted to get together with Elizabeth. She wanted to share this news. She was excited about what was happening. I don't think she fully understood. What does it mean the Holy Spirit's going to come on me? What does it mean the Holy Spirit, the power of the Most High is going to overshadow me? But they got together, okay, and they shared what was going on in their lives. Verse 40, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. Now what had happened to Zechariah? He was struck dumb and could not speak because of his unbelief. So he's in the house. He's heard what Gabriel said, that his wife is going to bear John the Baptist. And you know what? Some 5-6 months has gone by, and I bet you she was going to beginning to show. But he can't say anything. He's just like, honey, it looks like you've been eating too many donuts. I'm sure he didn't say that. But something is happening to this woman whose biological clock has ended, and she's going to bear John the Baptist. And then Mary, I personally think, my wife contests me on this, but I don't think she knocked. I think she just burst in the door and said, Elizabeth, guess what's going on? Okay? So they share news and share notes, and then something miraculous happens here again. Verse 40, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. Verse 41, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Look at your outline there, and if you would write these phrases in, Mary travels to Elizabeth's house. Elizabeth is old, but as she is 6 months into her pregnancy, verse 36, you can read that. Mary and Elizabeth shared joy over their unlikely pregnancies. And Elizabeth spoke under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. She's filled with the Holy Spirit. Somehow the Holy Spirit has brought her womb that's past childbearing years back to life. She was able to have a child, okay, through the normal conception methods of a husband and wife. Okay, so she's bearing John the Baptist. Mary, miraculous conception in that Jesus did not have an earthly father. And they get together, and when the greeting comes, John the Baptist jumps inside of Elizabeth's womb. Friends, do you realize what we have in the power of the Holy Spirit? I would like you, and I think you've heard me say this before, to become a student of the work and the nature and the presence of the Holy Spirit. There's really not a whole lot we can count on in this crazy world. But the older I get, and I look at my life and the duration and the time, I recognize the presence of the Holy Spirit abiding inside of me is the only sure thing that I have. Of course, I read His Word. Of course, my wife and I pray together. I love this fellowship and the communion table that we share together. But the presence of the Holy Spirit quickening my heart, a gentle comforter, a counselor, a spirit of truth, friends abiding inside of this physical frame. The Apostle Paul says that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Think about that. Study the work of the Holy Spirit. Believe that God's presence is inside of you. Now, if you're not born again, you need to give your life to Christ. I can say that plain and simple. God loves you. We're all sinners. Jesus is the only way. Paul says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. It's a gift of God. And Romans 3:20 says that God is knocking, Jesus is knocking on the door of our hearts and wants to come in. So that's the gospel. So a simple prayer of Jesus, I need you. I cannot handle the challenges in my life. What's going on out there in the world, in my family, and finances and health is beyond me. Jesus, help. I dare say that that's the prayer that Jesus loves the most. Help. Because you know what's systemic in that word help? You've given up on all of your own efforts to control your world, to be the answer to every problem, to figure things out enough and get all your timelines and your charts in place, and you realize, you know what? I am insufficient for the challenges before me. It's humility. It's walking in the fear of the Lord. It's saying, God, I'm a finite creature, created in the image of God, but I'm lost in my sins, and I need you. Come in. Forgive me of my sins. I want to be born again. It's the prayer that I believe Jesus loves the most. Help. So we see here, Elizabeth spoke under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This last section, look and see what it says here. After Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, she prophesied. What does it say there? In verse 40, she's filled with the Holy Spirit, okay? And then in a loud voice, she exclaimed. When the kids were little at our house, I would get excited about a story that I was telling at the dinner table, and I would slap the table, and I would raise my voice. I mean, it seems normal to me, right? You're excited about the story that you're telling, and you're waving your hands like you're Italian, and you're just excited, and you go on. And the kids would say, "Dad, you're kind of getting a little loud." My wife would reach over and say, "Calm down, Grandpa." You know, friends, when God does something, you exclaim that, you express that, you communicate that. What do we do when we come here every Sunday? We sing, hopefully with joy and inspiration and excitement about what God has done. Do not come to church and fall asleep. Okay, I'm sure that the sermon needs some help now and then. Okay, if you doze off during the sermon, I'm not going to take it personal. That's okay. But when you sing, would you engage and would you participate and would you raise your hands if you care to and get excited about what Jesus has done? We get excited about a million other things in life. Why would we come to church and fall asleep? Jesus has died on the cross. He's risen from the dead. He's coming again. He was born at Christmas time. He limited himself to a physical body, but was still deity. Friends, this is the greatest story ever told. It's the only reason worth living. Everything else is fake and passing away and an idol and meaningless and will not satisfy the needs of your heart except a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and walking with him and enjoying him and loving him and celebrating your salvation and your forgiveness of sins. What does it mean there in that first section of that last blank? After Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, she prophesied. It says that she, in a loud voice, exclaimed. Okay, she was stating truth about what God has done and who he is and his presence in the situation, okay, involved with John the Baptist's birth and involved, of course, this miraculous conception of Jesus in the Virgin Mary. The next blank there in that last section, because of our sin, we need a Savior, okay? That passage there, we won't turn there, Luke 2:11, okay, talks about Jesus as our Savior and our Messiah and our Lord. Saves us from our sins. It's the coming Messiah that the Jews were expecting, okay? And Lord, a phrase of or a word regarding deity. Luke 19:10, what does it say? He came to seek and save. That's what was lost, okay? How are we lost? We're lost in our sins. Paul describes it in Romans, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. He elaborates it more in chapter 6, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are trapped, we are lost, we are in bondage, okay? We cannot direct our own ship, okay? I don't care how you try. I don't care how much power of positive thinking that you try to employ. We are lost in our sins before we give our lives to Christ. And Jesus is all about forgiveness and freedom from those sins. The New Testament says, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Okay? Next blank on your outline. God's redemptive plan was in place prior to creation. We won't turn there, but Ephesians 1, 4, and 5 says, before the creation of the world, we were chosen to be holy and blameless as adopted sons. Can you imagine that before creation itself, God saw you and knew you? And knew you would be born, and in his wonderful sovereign grace chose you to come to himself. I reflect and meditate that on sometimes in my quiet times, and it blows my mind, and I marvel, and I realize, you know what? God's got a far bigger picture of reality than I do. And there's such a sense of assurance that wells up in me. God, you knew. November 2nd, 1959, I would be married. You saw me knit together in my mother's womb, Psalm 139 says. You saw me every step of the way. Dark times, good times, bad times, whatever. God, you were there all along. God's sovereign care and love and power is with us in our lives. And this should give pause for thanksgiving and praise and assurance and something welling up in us to say, God, you're good. And all that you do is good. Look at the next blank on your outline there. There are over 300 Old Testament prophecies about Jesus. We won't turn there, but in Genesis 3:15, okay, the first one is right there. It's a reference to Satan, okay? And I love this because it talks about the fact that Jesus crushes the head of Satan. I hate Satan. He comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. I've been a pastor for 30 years, and I've had people not take the power of the enemy seriously, and I've seen what's happened into their lives, and I just grieve sometimes. Satan is real. He wants to destroy people's lives. Now, we don't walk in fear, but we just remember the words of Paul in Ephesians where it says, we battle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers of this dark world. We do live in a dark world, okay? But we don't walk in fear because the resurrection power of Jesus is inside of us. But you walk with caution and care, and you look at things that are going on and say, no, that's bad. This is the right direction to go. And I think you'll make those choices best in community with other believers that you can talk with about decisions and issues and stuff and say, would you guide me in this? What do you think about this? What is biblical wisdom? How do I know the right choice and the way to go? Okay? That second scripture there, Linda and Roy read this morning in Isaiah 7 and 9. Micah 5 was read last week. Jesus is a ruler and a shepherd. And I love Daniel 2 because Jesus is referred to as a rock. Okay, and of course that goes into the New Testament where it talks about the stone that the builders rejected. Okay, and on it goes. And I love the Daniel 2 passage because that rock is formed without human hands. Okay? The presence of God was intricately, intimately involved in what happened in Mary's womb. He didn't have an earthly father. There was no scandalous, inappropriate situation that happened here. The presence of God came upon this Virgin Mary, and Jesus was formed in her womb and was this rock that's been prophesied all throughout the Old Testament. I hope you know that rock today. It is the only source of peace and salvation and encouragement and joy and a relationship with our Father. And it's right there in the Bible. Craig? Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this joyous, amazing, wonderful encounter with Elizabeth and Mary. I love that picture, Lord, of John the Baptist leaping in Elizabeth's womb as he heard Mary's greeting. Thank you for this Christmas, Lord, as I will continue to pray. I pray that the yearly repetition of Christmas and all this is about would not be missed upon us, that we would fall in love with Jesus again and again and again. Why? Because the mercies of the Lord are new every morning. There's no end to your presence and your power. Jesus, you're the way and the truth and the life. You died on the cross for our sins. And I pray that in these troubled times we live in, we would know your peace, know your assurance, know your confidence, know your grace, know your forgiveness, especially as we celebrate your birth during this Christmas season. In Jesus' name, amen.